26th chapter of Chronicles. Second Chronicles, the 26th chapter. I want to look at verse 15 and 16. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 15 and 16. I want us to read it together. It's on the screen if you have not found it. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 15 and 16. If you don't mind reading with me, beginning at verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines. When he was strong. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord, giving all honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks God for each and every last one of you that are here this morning in the house of God. I'm going to ask you to bear with me just for a little while, just a few minutes. Amen. I've bared with you while you've praised. I've bared with you while you've sung. Now just bear with me as we bring the word of God. Amen. I sat there, didn't say nothing. Amen. Gave you your time. And now we need to get into the word of God. The Bible brings out this word. I want to talk on for a little bit of your time, not too long. Taking things for granted. And then I want to use for a subtopic, but in due time. Taking things for granted, but in due time. The book of Chronicles, actually, it was just one book. And later on, it became separated into First Chronicles and Second Chronicles. The book of Chronicles, the first book, actually begins with the genealogy beginning from Abraham to Noah. After dealing with Noah, it deals directly with his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. After which it moves to Abraham, genealogy, and to his son Ishmael, all the way to Keturah, and then beyond to all the kings of Edom. When we get ready to look at the second book, Chronicles, it actually talks about when his son Solomon came into reign. And Solomon had received wisdom from God. Solomon's main function was to judge God's people, and his mission was to build the house of God. As we look here in the text, when we get ready to look at it, I want to focus on these particular verses just for a few seconds here. And here in these verses, it lets us know directly what Uzziah did. Uzziah was the son of Amaziah, who became the king of Judah during this particular season. And Uzziah here, the text says that you just read, before we go back a little further to come up, it tells us that how God had gave him the opportunity to be successful. the Bible says not only here was he successful, and we'll look at it sooner or later. It says, but he was marvelously helped. And if he was marvelous help, it lets you know that all of my help coming from who? And so God helped him. God helped him. And then, but then when he became strong, the Bible says that he went in the temple of God. When he went in the temple of God, he grabbed the incense to offer a sin to God. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because this is where the mistake happened. I want you to go to Exodus with me real quick, and I want to look how important this temple was, and especially what was in the temple but before God himself. When we look here at Exodus, we think about when Uzziah went in the temple, he grabbed for the incense to be sent to God. Oh God, this was a peculiar place. This was a place where God met his people at. And the incense was a sweet aroma that went to God for his people. Uzziah, the king of Judah, went in the temple, and he had the audacity to exercise sending of incense to God. Y'all don't hear me. The king of Judah went in the tabernacle, the house of God, the holy room, and began to try to send incense, a sweet aroma to God. Oh, God. In Exodus chapter 30, look at verse 1. Look what it says. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, and shittim wood shalt thou make it. I want you to know also that it was laid with gold. I go down to verse 7 and 8. The text says in verse 7 and 8, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamp, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron light the lamp, even he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. What God is saying here, is that he told Aaron that Aaron was the high priest, and that when this tabernacle was made, it was a meeting place for God and his people. God strictly informed that when this tabernacle is made, is that no one is to enter into this tabernacle unless he was a priest or one of the Levites. Can I get a witness on that? He says that I'm going to be in this place. I'm going to be right above the mercy seat. But the incense that's in the place, he says, now I'm not talking about the brazen altar of incense. No, he said, I'm talking about the golden veil, the incense, this golden vial here. He says here that skip over the brazen altar and skip over the laver that's there, that's full of water. Go into the holy room. Reach beyond the table of showbread and the candles, and right before the mercy seat, where the sweet aroma is coming up. He says, I want to make sure that every morning and every evening that the high priest lights this incense that brings me a sweet aroma. He says, because what happens is that this aroma here represents something that when it comes in my nostrils. He said, I don't want none of the children of Israel to come in this tabernacle, but I have called the high priest. I've called the Leviticals, I've called these ministries here, these ministers, to minister to me the sweetness of this aroma. The Bible says that is holy aroma. he says that make sure that nobody come before me trying to imitate anything that I have called holy. He said, because there are some folk that will try to make imitation spirit. You can't make an imitation Holy Ghost. God help me. Other words, you can't fake the anointing. Y'all don't hear me, church. He said, it's got to be real. He's got to be purified if it's going to get to my nostrils. God help me, somebody. But can I tell you something as I move right along? There are some folk that will try to have some fake aroma to go to God. And can I tell you something? Fake aroma cannot get to God. You're wasting your time if you're not real. God help me. If you were praising God up in here and you was not real, can I tell you something? You really waste your time. If you were singing for God and you wasn't singing, if you were singing for God, then God heard your singing. But if you were singing for folk, God help me, you're wasting your time. If you're preaching to try to get somebody to say, man, you're wasting your time. And it's a serious time now that the church become more serious about who God is and what God wants you to do. God help me, somebody. Watch this. I look here in First Chronicles, and I looked at chapter 16, and I said, when I looked at it, it says here, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. I want you to see this, that David went to Obed-Edom, and he brought the ark of God from him and took it to the city of David. And David set a special tent just for the ark of God. Do y'all hear me on that? I looked over here in the word of God. And when I looked in it, I walked through it. And after looking through it, I went to the first chapter of 2 Chronicles. And it told me something just a little different, which caught my mind. Watch this. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, so Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high places that was in Gibeon. And for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But if you look at verse 4, it talks about that the tabernacle was set a different place from the ark of God. Do y'all hear me on this? Because the ark of God is where God said, I'll be on top of the ark in a cloud. Y'all don't hear me. And God said that it was important that the ark of God was set a certain place. But then God said, David, you can't build me a temple. He says Solomon is going to build a temple. So God gives Solomon this opportunity, the charge to build the temple. And the Bible tells us is that when Solomon built the temple, after they had put the temple in his place, the Bible said they bought the ark of God and placed it in the temple. But can I tell you something? God said before the ark of God in the veil, there must be incense. Oh, God, help me. He said, don't you come up in here in where the ark of God is if there's no sweet aroma. God, help me, somebody. He says, yeah. He said, because the sweet aroma does something to me before you comes in the room. God said, because there, if there's not a sweet aroma, if that sweet aroma that's not there, that's not present, then I'm gonna smell a foul odor. Can I tell you something? That if you're not clean, if you're not washed, and if you're not a child of God, then you have a foul odor. God, help me, somebody. Watch this. I want you to look at this thing here. I went in the text. And I want you to understand here is that in Psalms, it talks about, and 141 verse 1 and 2, it begins to help us to understand here is that when we pray I pray is like, prayer is like a fresh scent that goes to God's nostrils. And what happens is that this aroma, this scent, this incense that went up to God was for the prayers of the people. And what happens is that God says is that your prayer is an incense. I'm glad to know that when I pray, it is sweet aroma to God. Help me, somebody. And the reason why that's important, that there's a sweet aroma that comes from your mouth, because God said in your mouth is life and death. Watch this. When you're praying to God, you ought to speak life. God help me. He is a God that is alive. And when you speak to him, you speak to him words that are life. God help me. God said, I don't want no negative folk speaking to me. Because if you speak to me negative, then you don't believe that I am God. I need some positive folk that come before me and believe that I am the God that can get the job done. Help me, somebody. He said, what's sweet to me, if you come to me believing that what you ask me for is going to take place. It's sweet to me if you come to me and asking me to deliver me. And in your prayer, it's sweet to know, but God, I know you're going to do it. And God, not only do I know you're going to do it, but I give you praise in the midst of my prayer because I speak it already done. God, help me. And the Lord said, oh, that's so sweet. He said, the reason why it's so sweet to him, because he said, if you believe it, it can happen. If you speak it, it'll take place. He said, I want some sweetness coming up before my nostrils. He said, I don't want nobody come up in here that said, Lord, I know that is hard. God said, no, it ain't hard. Ain't nothing too hard for God, baby. You've got to stop coming up in here with a bad scent, a bad taste in your mouth. I need some folk that don't mind sending up some sweet aroma to God. I need some positive folk to get up in the morning and get on your knees and say, God, I thank you because you're a wonder working God. God, I thank you because you're a marvelous God. In the name of Jesus, I speak life in my life. I speak life over my children's life. Even though the devil is busy, God, I know you're busy too, and you've got the victory. You're holy, God. Thank you for taking care of me today. And God, I know you're going to take care of me through the night. Thank you, Lord, for sparing me when the devil tried to kill me. Sweet aroma.
Oh, God, 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 help me. The Bible. Here says that Uzziah was a successful king. The Bible says that Uzziah's name, other words, is not only Uzziah, but is Azariah, which means God strength. And here was this king. This king here of Judah who came into being when he was 16 years old. His father, Amaziah, had been slaughtered, had been killed. But at the age of 16, they take him and they place him to be the king. I want you to understand here that he was a strong man, strong in his body. His biceps, his triceps was strong. His legs were strong. His shoulder, his chest was strong. He stood. He looked like the king that he was. Help me, somebody. His mind was strong. His brain was strong. Can I tell you something? He was a very intelligent man. Oh, he was a man that understood astrology and astronomy. He was a man that understood geometry and geology. He was a man that knew right from wrong. He was a man that understood chemistry, understood biology. This man was an educated man. And the Bible begins to tell us that as we go farther in the Word of God, not only this, but I understood not not only that was he intelligent, but God had gave him wisdom. The Bible says that while he was a king in Judah, that God took him places. But can I go somewhere with you when I look at this thing that God was taking him places? Because the reason why I know that God took him places is because all of the things that he was doing, God help me somebody, God had given him strength. God had given him the victory. God had given him everything that he needed. And the reason why I know that God had given him everything that he needed, because it's in the word of God. Can I get a witness here? Look at verse 4 in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 4. The Bible says this, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Do y'all see that? Now watch this. When I look at the same that he did right in the sight of God, I want you to understand something. Is that means here is that God sees everything. Oh, God, help me somebody. I want you to understand that whether you in the light or whether you in the dark, God sees everything. Y'all miss him then. God blessed him. God took care of him because God says, it's in the text, that he did right in the sight of God. He lived righteously in the vision of God. God saw him when it was dark time. God saw him. He did right behind closed doors. He did right when he was by himself. He did right in the sight of God. Somebody just missed that. Can I tell you something? Because I want you to understand that God sees everything. Now watch that. God knows your heart. Oh, God. Everybody that hugs you, baby, ain't thinking right about you. God, help me. Everybody that shake your hand don't do right by you when they shake your hand. God, help me. Everybody that's looking at you in your eye can shake your hand and talk about you at the same time. But God knew that he was right in all his ways. God, help me somebody. Watch this. God says here, when I look at this thing, that God, Jeremiah wants us to know that God sees everything. Ezekiel says that when he saw the vision of a wheel in the middle of a wheel, he said on the wheels it had eyes that went when the Spirit told it to go. Not only that, in Revelation, John also says that by the candles there was eyes in between it, all over it, that also sees everything. Can I tell you, there is no secret that is not revealed to God. Can I tell you something? He knows your thoughts. He knows your ways. He knows your walk. And he knows your heart. You can look pretty. You can wear diamonds. You can have hats on. You can have the longest dress on. It does not matter. God sees everything about you. He knows who's texting during the message. He knows who's passing notes during the message. He knows who's sleeping upon him. He knows who have a negative thought about him. He knows who's confusion in the congregation. He knows who's the hell raiser in the house. And yet you still come up in God's house and you're ready to serve the first time you get in here. God sees. I don't care what nobody say. God sees everything. You don't have to investigate nobody. The Spirit of God would reveal it to you. Can I tell you something? God sees everything. Watch this. And so, watch this. Verse 4 says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. He was just like his father in the beginning. Watch this. Now verse 5 tells me, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Understand this. Now, Zechariah was a prophet, and to some, he was unknown. He is not actually the one that wrote the book of Zechariah. But he was a prophet in these days, and the Bible said that he had understanding and wisdom and visionary of God. Now, as long as Uzziah had received the counseling from Zechariah, he sought God. I want you to understand that. When you look for God, that means you search for God. Can I tell you something? But don't get confused with this search. Don't think that he went and looked under the cliffs to look for God. Don't think that he did that. Don't think that he went in his bathroom to look for God. No, baby, that don't mean that, because my Bible tells me is that God's presence is everywhere. To sought God means to seek God. It means that he was sitting at the foot of Zechariah as he talked to him about God. He was listening. Can I get a witness here? It means that he got in the scrolls, he's got in the manuscript, and he read the word of God. Watch this. To seek God means that he wanted more of God. God help me. Bible study one day wasn't enough for him. Coming to Sunday school one month was not enough for him. What he wanted, it was to spend more time with God. Seek God. He was like a deer that panted for water. He was thirsty for God. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I wish I had some thirsty folk up in here that want to seek God. You already have God, but I want more of God. I don't just want to get in my Bible when I got trouble, when I got folk that rise up against me, and I read God deal with my enemies. No, baby. I want to be in my Bible when I don't have nobody coming up against me that I know of. Y'all didn't hear me. That I know of. I want to be in my word when I'm by myself, when folk are around me. I'm still seeking God. What it means is that when you get God's word, you begin to exercise God's word in your life. Seek God. Meaning it don't matter where I work, I'm going to still keep my integrity. Can I get a witness? It means here to seek God is that I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No matter what comes up against me, I will not embarrass or deny what my God can do. Can I get a witness here? I wish I had some folk that was searching for God. I wish I had some folk that had a desire to get close to God. I wish I had some folk up in here that knows what it's like. As close you get to God, the prosperous you will be. Can I get a witness here? Uzziah was a prosperous man because he seeked God. He sought God. God, I want you when I get up in the morning. I want you in the noonday. I want you when I get off of work. I want you when I get to my house. I'm constantly seeking God, because every time I get close to God, he gets close to me. Every time I call his name, he calls my name. Every time I give him a praise, he claps his hands. Every time I tell him he's wonderful, he looks at me and say, you are too. Every time I say you are powerful, he said, you got power in you. Every time I say you are the creator and giver of life, he said, you are got it in you. You can create things. You can birth things. You've got life in you. You can give it. You can create it. You can do it. And you can speak it. It'll come to pass. Why? Because I am your God. And with God, you can do anything.
Yeah. I'm almost finished here.
And so when I look at to search God, when I look here to explore who God is, I want you to understand here that Uzziah, not only here did he explore God, but he taught people about God. Then God began to prosper him. As God began to prosper him, the Bible tells us here that he was able to fight against the Philistines. Oh, God, when God blesses you, when God prospers you, you can stand up against your enemies. And don't you ever think you don't have no enemies. You have some folk in this church that is your enemy, because everybody that came up in here today didn't come here for the right reason. Oh, help me, somebody. Anything that rise up against you to harm you is an enemy of God. Watch this. I didn't say you have to like everything about you, but if you rise up to hurt me, you become an enemy of God. Why? Because who reside in me? Because ever since I met Jesus, the old me is gone, and there's a new me living inside of me. So you just might want to be careful who you rising up against. Help me, somebody. Because I'm not going to raise up my hand to hit you. I'm not going to raise up my mouth to say something about you, but it's the God that you rising up. He'll fight my battle. He'll speak for me. He'll be a shield before me. Do I have any believers in here today that believe that God is your protection, that God is your hedge, God is your shield?
Oh, God.
Watch this. He prospered as long as he had counseling from Zechariah. Now watch this. When he began to prosper, the Bible tells us here is that he began to get stronger. And as he becomes stronger, people begin to lift him up. And as folk begin to lift him up, they begin to tell him how great he was. And can I tell you something, people? Be careful about that. When folk tell you how great you are, be careful not to take the credit. God help me, somebody. Some of us come to church because we want folk to give us the credit. No, baby. The credit is not yours. All glory belongs to God. Oh, help me, somebody. If you would concentrate on the glory be going to God, when somebody don't call your name, you won't get upset. God help me. But as long as you want the glory, you'll get mad because my name wasn't in the bulletin. You'll get mad because you didn't say thank you for what I did. Can I tell you something? But if you would concentrate on God, you don't have to call my name. What I done is written in the book. Oh, help me, somebody. And God's going to give me the credit. But if God just give me an opportunity to stay clothed in my right mind, I'll be satisfied. Can I get a witness here? If God just enable me to make it to see another day's journey, I'll be satisfied. But a real saint will say, if I don't make it to tomorrow, God's been good to me. Oh, God, help me. If he never give me another pair of shoes, he's been good to me. If he never give me another dollar, God has been good to me. Can I get a witness here? Can I have anybody here that don't mind that say God has been good to me? He's brought me from a mighty long way. God, give me two more minutes. Help my mic here. So watch this, watch this, watch this. I want you to understand here. It is that whenever God grant something, it means that God has given you access. God said that I grant you to have the house you live in. Watch this. He said, now, it's not the house that's on the mountain. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually the house in the valley. But you're somewhere in between. Oh, God, you don't hear me. Now, it's not the best of the car. And it's not the worst of the car. But I grant you to ride in your hoop day. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He said, I grant, oh God, you access. He said, now you're not the boss.
but you are one of the servants. But I grant you the opportunity to have your job. God help me. He said, now all you have to do is give God some praises and don't take the credit like you got it by yourself. God help me. And I know some like to believe that it's your certificate on the wall. And some of you like to believe it's because of who you know you got the job. But I'd like to believe that all promotions come from up above. Can I get a witness here? He said, I grant you to have your spouse. I grant you to have your children. But there are some folk that will take your kindness for weakness. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Have you ever had folk that you would help? Folk that you would always reach in your pocket and help out. Folk that you would pick up and always give them a rise. Not that I need you to give me some gas money, but can you just offer it? God help me. Y'all don't hear me. Don't take me for kindness. Don't take my kindness for weakness. Folk will take you for granted. Folk would overlook you as though that you can just do it because you can. The truth of the matter is that God bless me so I can do it, but it ain't right for you to take me for granted. God help me. Don't take me for granted because I'm 5'5 and a half. No, don't take me for granted, baby. I didn't go to war for nothing. You don't hear me. Don't take folk for granted just because they're prayer warriors. Don't take me for granted because you'll always find me in the house of the Lord. Don't take me for granted and think I'm a pushover because I pray all the time. Help me, somebody. You have folk in this church that'll take you for granted because you're kind-hearted. You have folk you live with that'll take you for granted because you ain't said nothing about the mess that you know about. Don't take me for granted. Can I get a witness here? But I found out something. Go ahead and keep doing what you're doing. Go ahead. Go ahead and keep talking about you. Go ahead and keep slapping me upon my head, because in due time, oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, God, go ahead and say what you want to say. Go ahead and keep acting like you want to act, but in due time, it may not say nothing now. It may seem like I'm ignorant of the fact, but I've got a God in due time. He's going to show up and show out. Can I get a witness? I may not say nothing now, but I'm intelligent to know that you are taking advantage of what God has granted you. I got some folk up in here that have taken God for granted. He woke you up this morning, and some of y'all didn't praise him. You come to the Lord's house, and it takes some music to get you roused up. But I heard somebody say, if nobody make no noise, I made enough noise for you. When I got out of bed this morning, wasn't nobody in the room. Lord, I'm not gonna take you for granted. There's somebody that have been given a deadline that they won't be here in 5 to 6 months. Every time they get up, they give God the greatest praise. But I got some folk up in here that take God for granted. You take your job for granted. You take your spouse for granted. You take the church for granted. But in due time, I wish I had some folk up in here that understand how blessed you are. He picked you up and turned you around, brought you from
The Lord has been good to you. Can I tell you? You better stop ignoring God. Stop acting like his youth. Stop acting like you did and a whole bunch of chips. Because I come by to tell you that all praise goes to the Lord. All glory goes to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for your little house. Thank the Lord that you got your strength. Thank the Lord that you got your eyesight. Thank the Lord you can still move around. Is anybody here? Thank the Lord for just one more day. Tell your neighbor, don't take the Lord for granted. In due time, he's on the way. He may not come today, but soon and very soon, he's gonna come riding on a cloud. And the archangels is gonna blow the horn. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can I tell you something? One of these old days, I can't finish this thing, but one of these old days, you gonna look for me, and I'll be gone. Lord, I'ma flap my wings. I'm not going to take the Lord for granted. I thank you, Lord, for oxygen. I thank the Lord for the sun. I thank the Lord for the rains. I thank the Lord for the storms. I thank the Lord for the hurricanes. Because in everything, I can still give the Lord praises. Is there anybody here going through something?